Okay, everyone, welcome again to Championship Drill, here with Phil and Jerry as always. You're doing good, guys? Good to see some football?
Yeah. Oh, great weekend, actually.
Unbelievable. And we'll go into the games quickly today because we talked about a lot of stuff in the midweek show. So I suppose one of the big news, well, one of the big stories, we'll come into some of the other ones as we go through the games, was the Barnsley appointing a new manager, Valerian Ishmael. What do we think of that?
Former Crystal Palace defender.
Yeah. That wasn't quite a glory year for Crystal Palace when he was there. And they got relegated, I think it was the late 90s. So.
Yeah. Clint DeMars playing with him.
Yeah. I mean, he played for, Bayern Munich one time, played for Wolfsburg. And I guess he's been most successful in his managerial career at Wolfsburg with their second team. Where he kind of did good stuff with them. He's about 45, 46 now, a good young coach. I think it kind of shocked everyone, did it, the appointment?
It was devastating.
Yeah. I mean, he came from LASK in Austria, who sacked him in July. Mm. And he did okay there. He didn't do great with them. He took them to the final qualifying round of the Champions League, where they lost to Club Brugge and ended up in the Europa League last year. But a strange appointment, and one totally out of left field that I don't think anybody saw coming.
I didn't see it coming because I didn't. I actually thought Mick might actually get.
Yeah. Well, I'd say Mick was probably off for the job. Like, let's be fair. It's I'd say there was probably you know, behind the scenes there was two or three managers probably off for the job, well established managers, and they said, look, we're not interested. I'd be very surprised if Mick wasn't approached. I think if Mick said he wanted the job, he would have got it that kind of way, you know.
Yeah.
I think so. It'll be interesting to see what he does because, like I said, a lot of his experience hasn't been with big teams either. So, you know, he might have some ideas for Barnsley from his time in German football. He's a young kind of manager, young coach. I think he was also been sporting director a couple of times. So it's going to be interesting to see how he gets on. And obviously he wasn't in charge of the game yesterday, but he was in the stands. So.
Stop them drawing.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how he does. He was a French youth international back in the day as well, but never made it into the. Yeah, never made it into the senior side for France. So we move ahead, I suppose, into the games that we can, because there's a lot to cover, because a lot happened.
Yeah.
We start all the way back, seems like it was about 3 weeks ago now, that Nottingham Forest played Derby on Friday.
Yeah.
Nice with everything that happened yesterday. For that one, it was kind of two halves in that game, really, wasn't it? It was a real proper game of two halves, that one, the Derby Forest one.
Yeah.
They dominated the first half. Great goal from Waghorn from free kick. Maybe Rooney won't be taking free kicks when he comes back into the side. Chris Hughton, whatever he did or whatever they put in the tee at half time, Forest were a different side in the second half, and Taylor got the equaliser.
The same thing happened midweek with Forest. Like they just kind of, it's whatever Chris Hughton says to them, they just seem to more active, more energy, more involved.
Yeah.
I did think that Derby were robbed at the end though.
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with that goal.
Nothing wrong with it, no. There's been a few kind of crazy decisions again yesterday that the referees didn't give things or things were ruled out, and I suppose we'll have to wait and see what happens, whether VAR is finally introduced or not. I know none of us are really for it at the moment in the championship because so we'll wait and see anyway. So Forest stay unbeaten under Uton. I think a win, two draws now. Then Derby, like you said, will feel a bit robbed.
Yeah.
In that one. And yeah. I think it was kind of probably a fair result at the end of the day.
Oh yeah.
We spoke about it in the look ahead to this game that we expected it to be kind of close, but just based on, you know, kind of the last 10-12 times they've played each other, it's always been kind of the odd goal here and there that's won it.
Yeah.
So we expected a close game, and I suppose 1-1 wasn't a massive shock and a surprise. But it was Friday night football hasn't been the greatest the last few weeks, so it was good to have a good game on Friday night.
Yeah, it was good to be back with kind of, I suppose the last really good game would have been the Coventry and Bournemouth game a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, I thought both sides definitely could have won.
It was one of those. They did have chances, but
a draw is fair.
A draw is fair enough, and both teams are still the wrong end of the table for where they want to be.
Yeah.
They'll get there though. As I said, look at Blackburn.
Yeah.
And they were flying high, and they've dropped outside the top six kind of way now, you know. But it's a long way to go, I'd say, you know. But yeah, like, just going back to Fair, like, I think if Fair was actually working, if Fair was clean and it wasn't dirty, then yeah, I would bring Fair into it. Like, but should we see what happened over the weekend, lads, with Fair? Like, does even the United and Chelsea game or the Liverpool game
was on cause. That Liverpool decision was bad as well.
You can't justify, like, Fabinho got the ball, you know, you can't justify Fair. Fair in the Championship would be crazy, lads. I keep saying it. Like, if you can imagine the score lines, you know what I mean? It'd be just mental, like, it'd be mental. So, no, Fair's corrupt, yeah. In my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way it is there now, though, with the decisions, a lot of decisions yesterday, I mean, teams are going to end up in trouble in the Championship because of bad refereeing decisions.
Yeah. You can't justify it. Like,
there should have been a red card. We'll talk about it in a minute about the Watford.
Yeah, game. I mean, there was goals that should have counted. There should have been red cards. There should have been penalties given. Yeah. And VAR would have called all those things. And teams are struggling in the Championship because the referees are not great. Yeah. The referees in England in general are poor. But in the Championship, they've been really bad this weekend.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Like, as you say, you look at the way it's over in America at the moment, like in the MLS, like it's proper. Like, I know there's an Irish lad over there. You know what I mean? It's corrupt. Like, it's you know, you have, you know, the likes of Carragher, Neville, everyone, every manager speaking about it. Like, you just can't justify it. Like, one week there's a good week, and then the second week, then it's a catastrophe. Like, it's, you know what I mean? You can only do a show that's 8 hours long based on VAR alone. It's just, it doesn't make sense. It's. You remember the old game, like, and I mean the old game, I mean the game a couple of years ago, like, where the referee and the linesman, well, don't get me wrong, there was times when the linesman was wrong, like, but it was a better game, you know what I mean, compared to now, like, where you see someone scores, like, you know what I mean, and then you're waiting for it then, like, we're all at home celebrating, the next thing you see then, it's ruled out, like, and sure,
yeah.
In the midst of the celebration, as you could have probably, you know, threw something in the air, like, or made a mess, and, like, you're picking up the mess then, saying, Jesus, they didn't actually score. It's not the same, you know what I mean? It's weird.
Yeah, yeah. So we move away from that, and we go on to the lunchtime game yesterday.
Yeah.
Watford-Bournemouth, 1-1 in that one.
Yeah.
Perry said for Watford, Sarr with a great cross in that one. Very, very late goal from Mepham.
Yeah.
Kelly assisted. But I suppose the big talking point in that game, before we go more into the game, was Kelly very early on.
Yeah, about 2 minutes
very,
in.
Very, very dangerous challenge on Sarr. Studs up.
Yeah. It was almost like a Shawn Michaels kind of super kick.
Yeah. I mean, he should have been sent off.
Yeah.
He should have been sent off.
Oh, yeah. And then he got away with another one as well later on.
Yeah.
So he should.
And it's always the way. I mean, it is always the way, I suppose, the way these games go. He then assisted the equaliser deep into stoppage time.
Yeah. Yeah.
He probably shouldn't have been on the pitch.
Yeah.
Bournemouth, though. Pick up a point, they stay unbeaten this season.
Yeah. So, like, on the bench was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. I think it's because there's a lot of games. I think we were talking about it recently about certain players.
Big picture against Watford, like, it's.
Yeah.
So it was, I think it was kind of, it was one of those where I think it was kind of Bournemouth were kind of more into it in the second half than they were in the first half. You know, again, at half-time, whatever the manager said seemed to work, and they kind of dominated a little bit. I suppose they were chasing the game, too. They had to try and get a goal back.
I thought Sarah had a great parties.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you have to take your chances when you get them, when you're playing against the top teams in the division.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because they can always score, and Bournemouth did that. But Watford and Bournemouth are both kind of doing well in their boat.
Yeah.
In with the show, they're going back up straight away.
Yeah, they did a decent. I think they'll be there, thereabouts, without it. Yeah.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah. We move on then to a game that was kind of decided in 10 second half minutes more than anything else, was Huddersfield against Preston. Campbell for Huddersfield, and then 2 goals in 3 minutes for Alan Brown gave Preston the away win. You know, both teams had a lot of chances. Preston probably had the better chances in the game. And their new lad, Reese, up front, Jakobsen, he was a handful all day. He still hasn't scored for them. But I think for Shawny Maguire, it's not going to be great news, because I think he's going to be preferred to Maguire.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
For most of Preston's games this season.
It's the way they play as well.
He's bigger. He's able to hold the ball up that bit better for their style of football. But how did you find this one? I mean, Huddersfield had their chances too.
The red card killed it, Steve, I think. You know, when Naby Sarr got sent off, that could have changed the game. But like, just going back to Alan Brown, like, you know, he got two goals in the space, I think it was 3 minutes. You know what I mean? It's good to see Brownlee score like that. Obviously, Fraser Cameron put Huddersfield up 1-0. But like, yeah, I think the sending off kind of killed the game because it was a kind of, there was a bit of a spark to the game. Alan Brown was immense. You know what I mean? I know he got a yellow card as well. Like, just going back to Shawnee Maguire, like, Shawnee's a great player. Like, I just think he needs to move. I think he needs to go to a different. I think so.
Brown's second goal in particular, like, the first one was a good finish, but the second one was very clever when the keeper kind of made a mess of it and he just lobbed it back over him. Yeah. It was a very clever finish for that goal.
The thing about Alan Brown is that he needs, that's the one thing he's missing, his goals.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, he got them yesterday. I think Preston in general are struggling to score goals this season for whatever reason. But I mean, they got four against Brentford, they got two here. You know, they're starting to get them again.
Away from home, they're brilliant.
Yeah, they seem to. I think we talked about that, didn't we, midweek, that if they could play all their games away from home, they'd be okay.
Yeah.
And which is weird because there's no fans at home to kind of get in their back because, you know, the Preston fans, and I do get at the team a lot, and they turn on them very quickly, it seems. But then, you know, they love it when they win. Both teams now on 10 points after 7 games in mid-table. And a stat for you in this one. This was the first time since 1992 that an away team has won this fixture.
Jesus.
That's mental.
So Preston break that. Going back, what is it? Now, like, what's that, 28 years?
Yeah.
There's been an away win in this fixture.
If you look at Preston, they're always high flyers. They always start so well and kind of fall apart towards the end. Maybe not with this season, with the slow start.
Yeah.
They might kind of hit good turn towards the end of the season and finish just in that top six. And with a bit of luck in the playoffs, they might do it. But Preston are a great club. Like, they're a club. They're not the equivalent of Leeds, but like Preston, you know what I mean? They were in the playoffs for so many years back in the day under Moyes. And I think they really need a good season. Yet again, they have a great manager. They don't seem to find a heart to sign players. I know Adam O'Reilly, the Cork lad, is kind of knocking on the door now again, but Maguire needs to be doing better, lads. Like, and I'm not like, Shawnee was immense for Cork City. Obviously, when he went to Preston, he burst on the scene. There was injuries at Cullum, but as Phil said, a move to Celtic or a club like that would be really good for him. But Shawnee needs to be doing better. Like, and I'm one of his biggest fans. I know what he's capable of. Like, maybe he's out of position a bit. Maybe it's just what's around him that's not doing it for him. But like, Shawnee should be doing much better. Like, you know,
it's consistent. He doesn't get enough. He doesn't get enough runs like in the team.
Yeah.
Like, he does well, and then he's taken out of the team, and he's gone for 2 games.
If he was at Birmingham City, or if he was at Reading, or just say, for argument's sake, he was at, you know, Coventry, he'd score more goals.
Oh, yeah. It's the style of play as well, though, as I said earlier.
Doesn't suit him. But, yeah, I think both teams are going to be trying to push for the playoffs this season.
Yeah.
Both Huddersfield and Preston, so we'll see how that one goes. Now, the next game, QPR Birmingham, going into it, they both won their opening game. Yeah. They've both drawn 3 and lost 2 since then. They had the same points, the same goal difference.
Yeah.
So it was always going to be 0-0, really, this one.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
It wasn't great. I mean, there was chances in the game for both teams. I suppose, though, they look back at it now because they draw this. I mean, they both won on opening day, and neither of them have won since. They've drawn 4 of the 6 games since, both teams.
Yeah, that's mad. And I thought QPR would be way better than this. It just... they're missing something. I just can't. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're good enough front, lads. I think, like, Dykes up front and I think it's Bonnie. Like, they're good enough strikers. Like, you know what I mean? They have a young squad there. Like, I was on about Lee Wallace last week for QPR. I think he's immense. Now, we know he came off again. But, like, QPR are a team that can kick on. Like, you know what I mean? Birmingham are just using what they have. Obviously, Scott Hogan. He should be scoring more goals. Like, if Birmingham, like, you know what I mean? If they had a good striker, they could probably do damage. Like, you know, Gary Garner's still there. The guy from Liverpool that was at a let it go Bilbao for so many years, Mikel Santos, he started the game. I think, do you know what I mean? I think Birmingham can kick on.
They do need to do something because for Birmingham in particular, they look good at the back.
Yeah.
But in seven games now, they've only scored 3 goals and none of them have been from open play.
Yeah.
You know, they're always going to be dangerous from set pieces.
Yeah.
But they haven't scored a goal yet from open play in 7 games. And, you know, they find themselves on 7 points, which isn't, you know, a disaster as such, the way the league is going. I mean, they're still only, you know, a win away from being right up near the top of the table.
Yeah.
But both teams really need to start turning these draws into wins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Steve, you look at the situation with Birmingham, right? Like, you know, because you're a coach and you've done it in the States, we all know what's wrong with Birmingham at the moment. You know, they're not really scoring from set pieces. Like, we can see what needs to be changed, but why is it not being changed? That's the question.
I don't know. Do they have the players to create the chances? I mean, they had good chances yesterday and they're just not taking them.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
But underage, why not bring in some young lad to do it? Like, you know, bring in some spark in the under 21 team or some underage player. You know what I mean? Yeah. Can create something like.
Yeah,
but it is what they need to sort out.
They're lacking energy, I think.
Something up the top of the pitch, because they are good at the back and they have had chances, but they seem to, every week it seems to be the same with them. You're talking about Birmingham missing chances.
Yeah,
it was there.
So maybe like you said a minute ago, maybe that could be somewhere Sean Eich will come in, and with this style might suit him better if he could.
Would Preston Aaron, they're not using them, right? They could just.
Yeah. Then we come on to a heartbreaker for Wickham yesterday.
Yes.
Pukki with the first goal and a stoppage time winner for Vrančić. Great free kick again.
I was watching that day. I was like, he's going to score here.
It was a great free kick. The keeper didn't even move. I think the keeper even clapped after it went in. You couldn't have placed it in the top corner.
I don't think it was a free in the first place.
No. I mean, Wickham again didn't get much luck in that one yesterday.
Yeah.
Cashkett had equalised for them. Ida was sent off for that was after the goal came in. It was very late that Ida was sent off.
What happened?
There was a bit of a tangle of legs on the ground, and to be fair, Ida did get up and he pushed him in the face while he was on the ground. He had to be sent off. It was stupid.
Yeah.
It was like 5 minutes into stoppage time. Norwich were winning the game.
Yeah.
It was crazy from him.
Yeah.
And he's going to be gone now for at least a game, probably 3.
Yeah.
You know, it was stupid. But Norwich dominated the game, really. But Wickham had a few chances. They managed to create a few chances. They didn't really take them. But they defended so well yesterday. Norwich, you can't say, had many great chances either yesterday. Wickham did so good. And even after the game, the Norwich manager was, you know, in the way he does. I won't even attempt his accent because of being an insult. But he was crediting Wickham and he, you know, how good they were. And Ainsworth after the game was basically saying, you know, if we can play like this every week, we're going to stay up. But it is for Wickham now. They probably should have had a penalty as well. It looked like they definitely should have had a penalty.
I think so, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah,
7 defeats out of 7 now for them to start life in the championship. They're not getting hammered every week. They're just not. They're just not doing enough.
And even the goals that they get aren't great. Like yesterday again, like that is no goal. Like,
no, but they're in trouble. I mean, they've lost 7 out of 7, and Ainsworth isn't going to say anything other than, you know, they can stay up if they play like that. But I was really impressed with Wickham yesterday.
Yeah. Surely they can't lose every single game of the season.
What do you want?
You'd hope not. But I mean, you know, 7 out of 7 isn't a great start. But they've been close a few times. I mean, you think back to even the first game of the season where it was like a very late winner for Rotherham.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then you're talking about another stoppage time goal here where he puts a free kick into the top corner. I mean, they're just not getting that luck yet.
No.
Yeah.
They have to win. And I don't know, can they stay up? Can Wickham stay up?
Yeah, but sure, look, Derby are on 4 points, Burnsy are on 4 points, Coventry are on 5 points, Nottingham Forest are on 5 points. 3 wins there, they're on 9 points, they're in the top half of the table, like, you know. Obviously, Sheffield United are on -4, so, like, it's, you know.
Yeah.
They're playing well, like, you know, I mean, obviously, they've conceded 15 goals, I think, or, sorry, 13 goals, but, like, they could really turn around, like, you know what I mean, with a bit of luck.
They could. I mean, they looked good yesterday. They looked good in a few games, and they just keep losing for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully Wickham will do it, because they are playing well. You have to love the manager. Like, he's know, he's always full of energy, even when this is the seventh defeat in a row, and he still comes out after the game. He's full of energy and he's very positive. And
they're playing Watford next.
Well, there you go. That could be the one. It's usually the one you don't expect is where the first win comes from.
Yeah.
We move on to a team then who are kind of opposite form to Wickham, Reading. 3-0 win yesterday. Mite with 2, Joe from the spot for Reading. 6th win in 7 games.
Savage, nice.
They drew the other one. They're 5 points clear at the top. They look really, really well organised. Everyone's fighting for each other in that team.
Yeah.
Rotherham's manager was back after his COVID issues. And to be fair, Rotherham had as many chances in this game as Reading did. They just didn't take them.
Yeah.
Like 3-0 was very harsh on them.
Very harsh. I thought Mete was really good.
His second goal was great, wasn't it? The kind of scissors kick he did.
Yeah, brilliant. Superb.
And I suppose Joe, being a typical forward, took the penalty at the end.
Yeah.
Would you have done it when it's in stoppage time? I mean, the game is safe.
I think
your buddy's on a hat trick.
For confidence for himself, I definitely would.
I don't know. I think that, you know, your buddy's on a hat trick. Game is safe. You let him take the penalty.
I don't know.
That one, all right, given the circumstances and the time of that penalty. Yeah. Maybe it's just an agreement they had, you know, maybe it's old school tactics, like, you know what I mean? No matter if you're on a hat trick or not, like, you know, a penalty taker takes the penalty. Like.
And I suppose it's good for the manager's point of view to know that your centre forward is like, no, I'm taking it, I'm the penalty taker.
Yeah.
He wants to score goals so badly, and he's in good form for them as well. You know, you could understand him taking the penalty in some respects if he hadn't scored in 7 games. He's in good form. And it is just nice to see a forward saying, no, I'm the penalty taker, I'm taking it, I want more goals this season.
Well, it'll make him eager to want to get a hat-trick next time.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm actually shocked by how good Reading are.
Yeah,
it's the manager. I suppose the manager was kind of the unknown coming into the season, but he really has them playing well.
Who are they playing next?
We'll have a look ahead there. They're playing midweek. Everyone's playing midweek again. They're away to Blackburn.
Oh, that'll be a very good game.
So, yeah, it's a tough test for them there.
Yeah.
But, you know, Rotherham, unlucky yesterday, really.
Yeah.
You look at the game 3-0, you think Rotherham were hammered, but they weren't. I mean, they just didn't take their chances. And we said it earlier, you have to take your chances in this game.
Yeah, no, I think Reading, they have a good manager, like, you know what I mean? He had a good career. He actually played with Atletico go Madrid. I think he managed in America. I think it was with Chicago Fire or someone. But clearly he knows the game, like, you know what I mean? He's he's a Serbia international as well. But I think he's a gem. Sometimes when we see these names and we don't know who they are, it's a typical UK Irish fan would say,
Who's that?
You know what I mean? But it's same with like Dundalk. Dundalk signed one of Atletico's, I think it was Atletico Madrid's youth project manager or something. Yeah. So we're all saying, but like, it comes to show, like, you know what I mean? Your man obviously had a good playing career. And he's showing it now with Reading, like, you know what I mean? He's no nonsense. He's young. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
We're only 7 games in, but the way they're playing, they're not there by accident.
Yeah. No.
And can they stay there for the season?
I think they can.
I think they'd definitely be in the top. The top two is very doable.
Yeah.
I mean, 5 points ahead of the team in second place already.
Yeah.
Which isn't a lot, but I mean, it's, you know, when you see how tight the rest of the division is, they're kind of pulling away with it.
They win,
big test against Blackburn, but we said that a few weeks ago when they beat Watford, so who knows. And then we move on to the Cardiff Middlesbrough game, the Neil Warnock derby. It was kind of sad, wasn't it? There was no fans in the ground because Warnock turned Cardiff around. They were doomed when he first took over, and he took them into, save them from relegation. He took them into the Premier League, and he would have got a massive reception from the Cardiff fans.
Would have been unreal.
It's kind of sad in some ways that the fans weren't there. Saville with a goal for Borough.
Yeah, what's the controversy? I wonder.
What's that?
What's that controversy? The goal, Neil Warnock.
Yeah, that was the Ojo equaliser for Cardiff.
Yeah.
Saville with the goal from Burrow from a corner. A great header, to be fair, the ball was kind of behind him. And they're always tough from corners where he has to put all the power and accuracy on it as he's actually moving away from goal.
Well, it was good. A great header.
The Ojo equaliser, Warnock wouldn't be happy with the defending anyway, but there might have been a foul in there. I don't know. It wasn't a game for football purists yesterday. The ball was in the air more than it was on the pitch.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a sign that Neil Warnock is managing at least one of the teams, because that tends to be how they play. Just hoof the ball forward. Old school kind of football.
Yeah.
Cardiff with a draw in this one. That's four home games this season for them. They haven't won yet at home.
Yeah, the manager's not kind of... He was kind of saying they should have won, but definitely a draw was fair.
I think a draw was fair enough as well yesterday. I think he was more frustrated with Burrow's tactics of just pumping the ball long every time they got it.
Yeah.
And kind of not playing football.
Yeah. But,
you know, Cardiff again, like we said, Preston aren't doing well at home. Cardiff also not doing very well at home. You know?
Yeah.
It's a strange one. It's a strange one. I don't know. Our team's just missing the fans being in the stadium or what it is.
It's the year of the underdogs, lads. I'm telling you.
The underdogs, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, both teams, I suppose, the point, they're both kind of doing okay, I suppose. Cardiff need to start winning at home, obviously. They're a team that seem to be playing well every week but not getting results.
Well, they're not conceding too many goals, which is good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, obviously, there's something there, you know what I mean? But, if, as you say, three wins in a row, they're in the top six, you know what I mean?
It's so tight early days in the championship.
Yeah. Harry Wilson will make a difference, no doubt, like, but they are a big squad, you know. They've never really been the same these last 2-3 years, you know what I mean? I think when Warnock went, and you know, there was a few other factors as well, like, you know what I mean? But
you almost got a beauty yesterday, Harry Wilson.
Yeah, he's a guy that can turn up. I still can't believe he's in the championship. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, Ojo and Moore as well had good chances yesterday for Cardiff.
Yeah, Ojo is a Liverpool player. I think he's still on loan from Liverpool, as far as I remember.
He's still on loan from Liverpool, yeah. He got the goal for Cardiff yesterday. Sizzler from a yard. He must have been a good yard outside when he hit that one. Maybe we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He's about 3 yards out.
Yeah.
Saying he was a yard out was a bit unfair. We move on then to a game that also turned on a red card. 4 red cards, I think, yesterday in the championship.
This red card in this game was absolutely horrendous.
And Aitken, a high tackle, if you could call it that.
Well, did he look like he hit him in the top of the hot tie?
Yeah, it was ridiculously high. He just kind of jumped into it.
And then he was giving out then as well, saying, what have I done?
Yeah, what have I done? Like, the only thing you'd say from him is he jumped into him. It wasn't like he, you know, it was a sliding tackle that was up high.
Yeah,
you know, he jumped in the air and kind of caught him high. But Mpanzu for Luton, I suppose, got the winner. And Wednesday, I suppose, the game turned when they had the sending off. But to be fair, Luton should have been about 6-0 up at half-time.
Is it Mpanzu?
Mpanzu with the goal, yeah.
He missed some chance in the first half. Yeah.
I mean, it should have been at least 3-0 Luton.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they should have scored after 30 seconds.
Yeah.
A miraculous clearance off the line.
Cleared off the line, yeah.
So, you know, Wednesday, we were saying, got off to a decent start, and they had the season, but they've lost 2 home games this week.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, I don't want to blame the manager for jinxing them, but he said before the game midweek that, you know, we'd like to be on out of the minus points by the end of the weekend, and to do that, they'd have needed 2 home wins, and they've lost both games. So.
Yeah. I actually thought Sheffield Wednesday would turn up. They just didn't turn up. That's just...
No. And Luton, I suppose, starting to turn things around again after a bit of a dip in form.
Yeah.
You know, are they going to be a team that wins 3, loses 3?
They could be. It's very.
You know, but they're going to be happy with their season so far, Luton, I suppose.
Yeah, and it was a great goal as well.
It was a good goal at the end of it.
They needed that win big time. But like as you say, they surprised us in the first 3-4 games, but they seem to be back on the mend. Now, that's a great result against Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah. It was a good result again for them, and they're going the right direction, and we'll see now midweek because the games keep coming thick and fast. Yeah. Bristol City, Swansea, 1-1. Lowe gave Swansea the lead, a Wells penalty for Bristol City. Bristol made 5 changes.
I don't think it was a penalty.
It was very dubious, to say the least. It looked like he slipped more than anything.
Yes, I don't think so. I for me, it's no penalty. And Bristol City are just... I don't know what it is. Ever since the international break,
strange one. I mean, this is a draw, and it's both teams have failed to win in 3 games now.
Yeah.
International break.
Yeah.
Swansea look good going forward. They're really missing Gibbs White, though.
Oh, yeah.
Massively.
Game changer, yeah.
Yeah, and I suppose Bristol would be happy again with another come-from-behind draw that they got, but they're not going to be too impressed with how they've been since the international break.
Yeah.
And it's strange, I think, whenever a manager makes that many changes. I know Alfie Mawson got injured and he had to come out the starting lineup.
Yeah.
But five changes from the midweek game is an awful lot.
Yeah.
It's Swansea are a massive club. I still look at that midfield they have, like, I mean, where they could have paid five across the middle league. But like Corey Smith, he's a great player. Conor Roberts, you know, Matt Grimes, they're all established players. I think Swansea will be dark horses this year, lads. I still maintain they'll finish in the top six, no problem.
They're going okay. It's just the last three games have been a bit off form for them.
Yeah.
They look very dangerous every time they go forward, though. They still do. IU being there is a threat all the time.
Yeah.
We move on now to what could have been the Mick McCarthy derby, but isn't anymore. Millwall won, Barnsley won. Adam Murray took charge of Barnsley for the last time. Whether he'll stay there now that the new manager is in, or the manager bringing his own people, who knows?
Yeah.
Barnsley, you were calling Phil yesterday. Phil Rodder, you were calling Barnsley yesterday when we were talking the draw specialist. So four draws in seven games for them. So they haven't won yet this season.
Yeah.
Rowett tested positive.
Yeah.
Millwall manager midweek, so he was missing. But like, we have to talk about Barnsley again, because it seems like we're talking about them all the time. That's nothing seems to go right for them ever.
No.
Like, yesterday, 10 minutes before kickoff, Woodrow and Williams pulled out of the team. They were both in the starting lineup, and we always say it's tough when one player pulls up with an injury in a warm up. They were missing two players, went down in the warm up.
Yeah,
and they had to be replaced. He also gave a debut, this was before the injuries, to Matty James, who's on loan from Leicester. And the last time Matty James started a senior game was in the League Cup for Leicester against Newport in January 2019.
Yes.
So it's been like over 18 months since he last played a game of football.
Crazy.
But Barnsley, good fighting win, or good fighting draw, rather, 1-1.
The goal was fantastic.
They can speed it straight away. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. After scoring, it's
not good. Mo with the goal for Barnsley. Cooper.
Yeah.
Stoppage time for Millwall. I suppose Barnsley will be happy enough with the point.
They'll be delighted.
Millwall fairly battered them, to be fair.
Yeah.
But there was a good fighting display from them. They didn't give away too many chances.
No.
Yeah.
Then we move on to a couple of games to go. We move on to one that, of all the red cards, this is the one that really, really decided this game was the Coventry Blackburn game.
They were done after this happened.
Yeah, and the last time these two teams played each other was 1999 in the Premier League.
That's mad.
So it's the first time since then that they've played each other.
Made his debut for Blackburn.
Yeah, and he looked very good.
Yeah,
Elliot looked very good yesterday for them. So Rose was sent off for a professional foul, a push in the back. Basically, his Armstrong was about to shoot.
Yeah, it was
ridiculous thing to do.
Yeah,
I mean, the game is early on. You let him score, you're 1-0 down. You stay with 11 against 11.
Yeah.
You know, Armstrong scored from the spot. He got his second just after the break. Yeah. Harvey Elliott scored one, and then he set up the fourth goal. You know, Blackburn deserved winners, but I mean, it was 11 against 10 for most of the match.
Yeah. Or they were done. Once the sending off happened like that, they just couldn't come back. Yeah. But Blackburn are this team that could always hit you for 4 or 5. They have the best forward line in the championship.
Looks very good. And I mean, Tony Mowbray even said afterwards, if it was 11 against 11, it would have been a different outcome.
Yeah.
You know, so Armstrong keeps scoring goals for them. Armstrong's getting a lot of goals from, probably should have had a hat-trick yesterday. Hit the bar, was a bit unlucky.
Yeah. Yeah, Elliot's a game changer, lads, I'm telling you. And I'm not saying it because I'm a Liverpool fan. That boy is special. Fulham wanted him back in the Premier League on loan. And like, I think, you know, Liverpool said, look, we'll put him into the Championship. But like, he's going to be one of the stars in the Championship. If he has a really good season, lads, he'll make it all the way.
Yeah, he looked very good yesterday. Took his goal well. You know, it's tough to know when you're playing against 10 men. You know, it can be very difficult for some teams to play against 10 men because you're expected to go out and score loads of goals against them. But,
yeah,
no, they did well. And I think Armstrong has been just so good for Blackburn this season. And Elliot, it looks like he's making a difference already.
How do you pronounce his name? Bretherton.
Bretherton, yeah.
He was
really good. Yeah, he got a great goal midweek.
Yeah, he was very, very good.
As well. Yeah. Then we move on to probably the shock of the year so far.
Yeah.
With Stoke and Brentford. Stoke went 3-0 up through Fletcher, McLean and Campbell. Two late goals from Forrest made it kind of very nervy ending at the end.
Yeah.
And I think this was just, you have to put it down to a freak result.
Not at all.
Not even that Stoke won, but the scoreline.
Yeah. But Stoke don't score goals. That's the thing.
No, and I think people would have thought it might have been a close, edgy affair, a 1-0 here, you know, a 2-1 maybe, you know, nothing. Nobody saw this. Stoke now unbeaten in 7, though, in all competitions.
Yeah.
And scoring goals, which, yeah, you know.
I think if that game played for another 5 minutes, it would have been 3-3.
Yeah, I mean, Brentford, I think even the manager said it afterwards, they were just beaten by a better team on the day. Stoke were just a better team. They wanted it more in the first half, especially.
It was Obi Mikel, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Brentford were better in the second half, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think Brentford are going to be very disappointed with the goals they let in. They were bad mistakes at the back.
They were terrible mistakes.
Yeah. And I think James Chester and Nathan Collins, they kept Ivan Toney at bay, you know.
Yeah.
Toney, a great assist for Forrest's first goal, and then a terrible mistake by Stoke to give him the second one.
Yeah, that was horrific. Horrific. And,
you know, it would have been disaster for Stoke if this ended 3-3 because of how dominant they were in the first half.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, Stoke flying it, and were they up to fifth or something like that in the table out there? You know, like we said, unbeaten in 7 games in all competitions.
Yeah.
So Brentford are having one of their up and down seasons. So, you know, great win for Stoke, though. Very good.
Fantastic.
All right. So we'll move on to the performance of the week. So in terms of a player's performance this week, we'll start with.
Tyrese Campbell was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think him and also the guy from Reading, Mete.
Yeah. What about yourself?
Harvey Elliott, 100%. Yeah. Yet again, it's not because of that Liverpool connection, but he's making his first debut. I think it was his first start with Blackburn. Sorry, he did start already, but it was his first full start.
Yeah.
He was immense. I think the way he got the goal and the way he set up a goal, he looks good. And he's
For such a young age, he's unbelievable.
He's 17, lads, as far as I can recall, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a different Blackburn player. I'm going to go for Armstrong with his 2 goals again. And he just looks so dangerous running in behind the defence. And he should have had a hat-trick yesterday. He was so unlucky.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Armstrong. What about the team performance of this week?
Stoke.
It has to be Stoke, really. Yeah. I'm going to actually go different to Stoke, I think, thinking about it. I'm going to give it to a team that lost. I'm going to give it to Wickham because they were so impressive against, you know, away to an Norwich team that are probably one of the favourites to go up. And they held out for so, so long.
Yeah.
Well, just because they probably won't win much else this season, I'm going to give them a performance of the week. In terms of the goal of the week?
Mete.
Which one? The second one?
Yeah, the bicycle kick, yeah. Also a special mention to the Barnsley goal.
That was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Mete's goal was probably my favourite goal as well.
Yeah.
You know, especially the fact that he set it up for himself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how people, if they do fantasy football for the championship, how they'd score an assist on that one. I guess it's whoever passed ball last. But in fairness, he set that up himself.
Yeah.
And the shock of the week?
It's a hard one to call this week.
Yeah. I mean, you've got what you have. Stoke was probably there.
Yeah.
I think the fact that Blackburn won 4-0.
I suppose, for me, I'd probably say Luton winning.
Yeah, Luton winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Wickham losing. I'd say Stoke beating Brentford 3-2 was probably a shock. Yeah,
that's a good one. Yeah, and I think as well, just because of the fact I put out earlier that it's been what, something like 28 years or something like that since there was last an away victory in the Huddersfield Preston game. That was probably a bit of a shock just for that happened. So we move on to a look ahead to midweek games again as the games start coming thick and fast now in the Championship again.
Yeah.
Barnsley home to QPR on Tuesday.
I think Barnsley are going to win actually 1-0.
1-0 Barnsley. Yeah. New manager syndrome.
Yeah.
It's tough. I'm going to say I'm going to go on QPR.
QPR to win.
It's going to be a very tough game. It's going to go either way.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Phil. I think the new manager, a 1-0 victory for Barnsley. QPR then will really be struggling after that. Another great game we talked about it a little bit earlier, Blackburn versus Reading.
Cracker.
Yeah, it's hard to say because if Reading, if Blackburn show up, they'll beat Reading.
Yeah. It's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, I probably 3-2 to Blackburn.
3-2 Blackburn. I hope so. I hope so. Be a great game to watch if we get those many goals.
Yeah.
3-1, I'm going to say, to Blackburn.
3-1 Blackburn. I'm going to go for a draw on this one. I think it might finish 1-1. I think both teams will be, you know, weary of each other in some ways. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's the goal fest that you're hoping for.
The next game, that one should be a cracker.
Then on Tuesday night, Brentford home to Norwich.
Yeah. I was going to say a lot of goals, but I'm actually going to say nil-all.
Nil-all,
yeah.
2-1 Brentford.
2-1 Brentford. Yeah, I agree. I think 2-1 to Brentford in this one. I think at home they've looked pretty decent this season.
Yeah.
The Preston game aside. Then we move on to another one that could be a good one. Middlesbrough home to Coventry.
Yeah, Coventry have lost their last 4 out of 5, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, yeah.
I think Middlesbrough 2-0.
2-0 Middlesbrough?
Yeah.
Coventry 2-0.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go in the middle, so with a 2-all draw. I don't think it'll be a 2-all draw, but I think that's what I'm going for. Swansea against Stoke.
That'll be a draw, I think.
Yeah.
Both teams are kind of on the same kind of form.
Yeah.
I think 2-2.
2-2, yeah. High scoring draw, yeah.
2-2
as well, yeah.
2-2 as well, yeah. I'm going to go for a Swansea win here, 3-1. Wickham finally get their first win, home to Watford. Oh.
I'd
like it to happen. So I'm going to say 2-1 to Wickham.
2-1 to Wickham?
Yeah, I'm going to say 1-0 to Wickham.
1-0 to Wickham. I'd love Wickham to win, but I think it'll be a heartbreaker again. I'm going to go 1-0 for Watford here.
Last minute goal, dodgy penalty.
But no, Wickham, I mean, there has to come a game where Wickham, all the luck that's been going against them goes for them and they start getting dodgy penalties.
Even a draw would be good for them.
Anything to get them going.
They deserve 2-4 draws anyway.
Yeah.
They have. I mean, they've lost 2 games, literally, in stoppage time.
Yeah.
I mean, Wednesday's games then starts with another good tie, I suppose, Preston versus Millwall.
Good game.
Millwall, definitely, because they're crap at home, Preston.
Yeah. 8-0 Millwall.
I'd say just 2-1.
2-1.
I'm going to say Preston 2-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 1-all draw on this one. Then we move on. Bournemouth, unbeaten this season against Bristol City.
Yeah.
1-0. Bournemouth 2-0.
Yeah.
Bristol City are on the downfall.
I think maybe 2-1 to Bournemouth this one. Bristol City are, yeah, they're starting to, since the international break, it's not been great.
Yeah.
Then another good game, really. Birmingham home to Huddersfield.
1-1. See, this has nil-all written all over it with the form they're in.
But
I know if I did that, it would be, so I'm going to say 3-1 to Birmingham.
3-1 to Birmingham. All right. I'm going to go for Huddersfield to win away from home here, wouldn't it? Derby, home to Cardiff.
Cardiff.
I think Derby are going to win this one 2-0. I don't know why. I just do. I think they're starting to turn the corner somehow. Luton, home to Forest.
Forest.
Yeah, I was going to say Forest, but they seem to be drawing a lot of games, so another draw. 1-1.
Another draw. 1-1. I'll go for 0-0 in this one.
I'm going to say 1-1.
Rotherham. Finally, Rotherham are home to Sheffield Wednesday.
That's a very hard game to call.
Tough one, isn't it? Rotherham at home. Wednesday lost 2 in a row.
I think a draw. 1-1
draw. 2. Yeah. Jerry.
1-1 as well.
1-1 as well. Yeah, I think Sheffield Wednesday are going to sneak this one 2-1. I don't know why. It could easily go 2-1 the other way. It's one of those kind of games.
It would be good.
It will be good. So we'll hopefully be back at the end of next week to look at the midweek games. And there looks like there's some crackers in there. There looks like a lot of goals in there. So it'll probably be banker 7-0-0 draws out of those of games. But we'll see what happens anyway. So thanks so much, everyone, for listening, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks, guys.